pass those envelopes out just so we have them ready. If you desire, as I mentioned, to give a special gift to Jews for Jesus, for Israel Relief, at the end of the service when we take our regular collection, you could just put that on the envelope. You could put Israel Relief, or you could put Jews for Jesus. Either way, we're going to put that directly towards them. I saw them already on the ground bringing supplies. They wasted no time at all to get there. They were already there, many of them, so that's a good thing. As Mr. Johnson last week shared, hey, there is a remnant of the election in Israel, no doubt about it. And he Googled upwards of 1 million people. I think there's going to be more after this thing's over. So anyway, that'll be a special gift for them. But last week, John Johnson reviewed the first 10 chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans. And then he taught pretty thoroughly on chapter 11. And he did that all in 3 hours sleep. I was watching with my mom that morning. I thought, wow, God bless him for doing that. Unbelievable. And so he paved the way for me to press on to Romans chapter 12 with a sermon entitled next week, Transformed. I'm going to get there. But again, because of what has happened, what has transpired, in light of these attacks, and in light of the protests that seemingly ignore the brutality, the subhuman behavior that was demonstrated by the merciless killers called Hamas last Saturday, I think it's important to recall three affirmations from chapter 11 that John shared and that we should contemplate regarding Israel's past, Israel's present, Israel's future. And in a sense, there's three rhetorical questions that Paul asks. And of course, the first one is in verse 1 of chapter 11. He says, has God cast away his people Israel, the Jew? Certainly not. Paul says, I'm one of them. I know, I'm living proof. He hasn't cast them away. And then the next question comes up, are there any left? Is there a remnant of the grace of election of the Jews amongst the Jews at the present time? Verse 5, certainly yes. Can I say that? Certainly no, certainly yes. There is. And then finally, has Israel been allowed to stumble and suffer due to their rebellion to God through the ages, as many of us also have suffered and stumbled? The answer, of course, yes. But the stumbling and suffering provided an opportunity, of course, as we read last week, to both pour out grace and salvation to the Gentiles and also cause the Jew to cry out to God in humility and desperation. Again, God uses the Gentiles, the non-Jew, the church, to provoke to jealousy, to provoke to jealousy the Jews as they see us praising God, so confident, thriving. And they say, that was once us. We recalled the former days, as Betty read in Psalm 143. We were there. Why? Why did they have that? What is it about them? And it causes them to want that, to consider Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jewish Messiah, our Messiah. And again, Paul affirms that now, presently, both Jew and Gentile come to God in the same way, through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And it seems, as we mentioned, that many have done that, more than 1 million. In the future, when all seems lost, God is once again going to deliver the Jew from the hand of the enemy. And it's going to cause them to look upon him whom they have pierced. And this is yet to happen. But as we read the book of Revelation, it will happen. There's going to come a time when Israel will be surrounded on all sides, kind of like they are now, without an ally. And when all seems lost, Jesus the Redeemer will come to the rescue. And all of Israel that is left there will be saved, as Paul said. They're finally going to see Jesus as who he is, the Messiah, the chosen one. God is certainly not through with Israel. And so before pressing on to Romans chapter 12, I want to look at two other very important chapter 12s. Chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 through 3, and chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, almost the entire chapter. We'll see how much we have time for. And in between those two 12s, I'm going to give you a few other ones. In the book of Zechariah, in the Gospels, from the Psalms. But we're going to focus on Israel, the foundation of Israel, and looking ahead to that glorious day, again, when God will rescue them, and Jesus Christ will make Jerusalem the place that the name implies, a place of peace, with the King of Peace, the King of Salem, Jesus Christ himself, ruling and reigning there. And Israel is going to live up to its name, governed by God. It's going to happen. So make no mistake about it, God established the nation of Israel and chose them for his special people. Again, beginning in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You can follow along or you can listen. But God tells this to Abraham. Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, of course, Abraham believes God. And in chapter 15, it says, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So that's why we call Abraham the father of our faith, because he believed God, and that's what made him righteous in God's sight. The same is true today. We believe God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that whosoever would come, and he will no wise cast out. And by believing in Jesus Christ, we are accounted as righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That's what Abraham did. And all the families, every tribe, tongue, nation, Jew and Gentile who believe in Jesus are blessed. But God is clear that those who move unprovoked against Abraham and his descendants would eventually be punished. Sometimes immediately, other times after a moment of time, a season. But we see that with the Moabites, Amalekites, Assyrians, and right on into the modern societies. But God gave Abraham a certain portion of land to settle, and he confirmed it again with Joshua. According to Genesis 15:18 and Joshua 1:4, the land God gave to Israel included everything from the Nile River in Egypt to Lebanon, south to north, including Gaza, and everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, west to east. And so on today's map, the Israel, or the land that God has stated belonged to Israel, includes everything in modern-day Israel, but a whole lot more that's yet to be had. And we believe that that will come in the future, when that rest of their inheritance, I guess you might say, awaits for the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so God has given his word, the nation of Israel will never cease as long as the sun still shines by day and the moon and stars still shine by night. That's Jeremiah 31. So God established this nation of Israel. Now, Palestine, once called ancient Philistia. It seems as though if we study the Bible, that what we consider Palestine, even Gaza, was once that land of Philistia. And it's always been a thorn in the side of Israel, no doubt about it. And it exists even till today. Gaza is called Aza. It's first mentioned in Genesis as one of the border cities of Canaan in Genesis chapter 10, verses 15 through 19. And again, it was on the border of Israel and Egypt, right where it is today, southwest part of Israel, near the Mediterranean Sea, one of the oldest cities, they think, in the world, in history. And the name Gaza means strong. And it's pretty fitting, considering the city's strongholds and the fortifications of it. But it's a hotbed of turmoil, no doubt about it. Well, why Israel? They must have been something really good for God to see them and say, wow, you're a shining gem. I'm going to choose you. Not so. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. God speaking to Moses of Israel says this. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the earth. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. They were the weakest, most feeble, one that God could see as he looked on the face of the earth. okay, come here. I'm going to choose you. He chooses the weak oftentimes to shame the strong, doesn't he? The simple to confound the wise, worldly wisdom. Going on, it says, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So he certainly didn't choose Israel because of their might or their merit. It was a prime example of God's sovereignty. And again, John spoke on this last week. God set them apart for his good purpose. God's desire for Israel was that they would be and a light to the Gentiles and go and teach others about him. Israel was to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries to the world. So God's intent for Israel was to be a distinct people, a peculiar people amongst the Canaanites, a nation who pointed others towards God, and of course, his promise provision for a savior, Jesus Christ. That is why they're called the chosen people above all things. God chose them to birth the Messiah. Through the descendants of Abraham and David, Messiah would come. God didn't need to choose a chosen people, but he decided to do it that way. That was God's sovereign choice. And so God decided that Jesus had to come from some nation, so God chose Israel. It's as simple as that. And although in many regards, Israel stumbled and failed in this task, God's not through with them. He's not through with them. And as God told Abraham that a nation's attitude or their actions towards Israel would result in either a blessing or a curse, he doubled down. He doubled down with the prophet Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, an angel of the Lord is speaking to Zechariah, and he says to Zechariah, "Whoever touches you, Israel, touches the apple of my eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." Now, the apple of one's eye. Most would say that's the sensitive part of your eye. It's the most inner part of your eye. And when something flies towards it or somebody is moving towards your eye, your eyelids close reflexively and you tend to move away. And you position your hands to ward off the threat that's coming to the apple, the inner part of your eye. And so our eyesight, of course, is valuable. So God designed the body to protect it. Yeah, that's right. Josh was saying, see a fly comes, you got to swat it away. That's right. Amen. He's listening. That's good. I like the interaction there. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, the apple of God's eye. Also, this is interesting. It's from the word ish. Ish. Ishton means apple. And it relates to the word ish, which means man. And so, if you think about it, it could be translated as the little man in my eye. This is interesting. Have you ever looked at somebody and in their eye, you can see your reflection in their pupils? That's the little man in the center of their eye. And so, in a way, God says, I've chosen that. That's my man. And they're reflecting me. I've chosen them to reflect me. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. They're touching my reflection. Interesting. And so our prayer is for God to keep guard over us, of course, as he would the pupil of his own eye. We think about that. And of course, of his special people, Israel. And so the description of God's care for his people here in Zechariah emphasizes, one, Israel's vulnerability to being harmed. It's very sensitive. And we know that. The whole world surrounds them. And it shows God's tender, loving affection. So God provided this complete protection. His people were a priority in the howling wilderness. God provided manna, as we sang the song, Honey in the Rock. He gave them water from the rock and safety from their enemies. And his care was as automatic as if he were guarding his own eye. God held the Israelites as the apple of his eye, as rebellious and stiff-necked as they were in the wilderness. And they were cherished. And God's care for his people has not diminished. It's not over with. Right now, it looks pretty grim. It looks very dark for them. But he holds his children close. He He does this because he loves us. If you were to go on in that passage of Zechariah and you get to chapter 2, verse 10, the Lord begins to speak prophetically of Israel in the future. It says this, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." Again, this is the angel of the Lord coming on behalf of the Lord. "And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." So this speaks of the future glory of Israel. Time when he'll gather everyone, and God will dwell in their midst. And so according to the scripture here, Zechariah, according to the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and of course the book of Revelation, chapter 7, 12, 19, and 21, Jesus is going to come again and dwell in Jerusalem, in their midst. He's going to reign over the earth during this time, and he's going to set his throne on Jerusalem. And so Judah, the area of Judah, is going to be his portion. And it says that kings of the earth will come annually and present their gifts to him. And he will be the Lord over the earth at this time, and all the peoples of the world will worship him. This is future still. Israel and the Jewish elect have a very special purpose and a special place during the Great Tribulation. And I think that becomes apparent in Revelation chapter 7. We're getting to 12. I did say Genesis 12, Revelation 12, but before we get to 12, Revelation chapter 7 is very interesting scripture. We know from our study of Revelation that people will be saved out, in, and through the Great Tribulation. I'm convinced in the reading of the scriptures that those who call upon the name of Jesus now, during this season of grace, will be raptured up to God. God will meet them, or Jesus Christ will meet us in the clouds. We'll go up to him. He's not going to come to earth. He's going to be in the clouds just as he ascended. He's going to come in the same like manner, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And those who have believed in him will rise up to meet him. As Paul said, he says, "The trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be with the Lord forever." There's a moment that's the Bible calls that we call in the Latin Bible, raptus, the rapture, the snatching away, where believers will be caught up to be with the Lord. After that moment, and that is the next prophetic moment, the next prophetic event in the timetable of God, because we know that Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, unleavened bread in the body of Christ, sinless Savior, first fruits, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, Pentecost, the drawing in of all believers who believe on Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles have yet to be fulfilled. But the next one is the Feast of Trumpets. And we believe that that is an allusion to the rapture of the church. Now, after that happens, in the Bible timetable, this time of great wrath will come. God's wrath will be poured upon a Christ-rejecting world. That seven-year time. Some will be saved out of it, the rapture, those who believe on Jesus. Some will be saved in it, those who believe on Jesus during the Great Tribulation. Their life, it will cost them their life, but they'll be saved. The greatest revival ever known could happen during the Great Tribulation. But some will be saved through it. And this is Revelation chapter 7. And it speaks of 144,000 Jews being sealed that cannot be touched. They're going to make it through the Great Tribulation time because their purpose is to proclaim the gospel. And in Revelation chapter 7, it says this. I'm going to pick it up from verse 4. It says, "I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." I don't know why the Jehovah's Witnesses don't see this. This is the Jewish believers. "Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. And it goes on and on. Every tribe, to the very end, it says the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Sealed to preach the gospel. They can't be harmed until their work is finished. And I want to make a note of that. I want to say this. For me, and I'm sure for you too, the hardest thing to watch with all these atrocities that were committed was the slaughtering of the innocents in the shelters that usually served to protect them from incoming rockets. And so some went in and they just didn't lock the doors behind their shelter. They'd done this before. Others had their shelters forcibly opened by these terrorists. And this thought of being trapped with nowhere to go is perhaps the most frightening thought. But I want to assure you that we never have to worry about this, because the Psalms tell us that those who trust in the Lord, he becomes our shelter. Our shelter is in Christ Jesus. He's our hiding place for our souls. And until the day our ministry, our work is through, we're safe from death. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 32:7 says, "You're my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance." Psalm 119 says, "You're my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word." Psalm 17, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 27, "For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his tabernacle." Now, when our work is done, when our ministry is fulfilled, this body can be done away with. As a matter of fact, our present bodies, Paul says, are a living sacrifice. We offer our bodies to the Lord. Our souls are safe for eternity, no doubt about it, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the new covenant. When our work is done, hey man, take this tent, Lord. Bring me the new body. I'm all for it. But our soul can never be touched. So I don't want you to let those thoughts terrorize you and cause you to stay up at night. Jesus Christ is our hiding place. We hide in him. We're safe in him. Our souls are safe. Revelation chapter 12. This speaks of, again, Israel's future. Now, this moment could happen mid-tribulation, maybe before that, but there's a moment of time that reminds us that God is not through with Israel. It goes like this. "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain gave birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 10 horns and 7 heads and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child as soon as it was to be born. And she bore a male child who was to rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which I think in my calculations is a little over 3.5 years. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.'" It goes on. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. The serpent spewed out of his mouth water like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, we went through this 2 years ago, but some of you might not have been here. But this is a great picture of Israel. As the woman Israel gives birth to the Messiah, of course, the chosen nation, the chosen one to bring the Messiah forth. And of course, at that time, as we know, Herod was enraged and he tried to kill the child. And there was that mourning. There was that mourning in Rapha as the slaughter went forth. All children, 2 and younger. So this idea of slaughtering the innocents, man, It's nothing new. It's really bad. It's horrible. But man, that spirit of Antichrist was in King Herod, I think, and he did those things that were just unspeakable. And of course, Jesus ascended back up to heaven after he was here for those 3.5 years, made the ultimate once and for all sacrifice, but ascended to the Father, to the glory he once had. And again, there is this time, it seems like during the mid-tribulation, where Satan is cast out. Right now he has access, it seems, to heaven and earth, but he's cast out of heaven, access to the throne. And of course, as he's cast out, he begins to persecute all those who are called Jews or that have the title of Christian, it seems like. But God protects them. And even as Satan sends out a flood, an army to go pursue them, God provides a place in the wilderness. Some say it's Petra, we don't know, but a place for them that they're safe during this time. They can't be touched. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went out to make war with the rest of her offspring, the Jews, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. God's not finished. He's not finished with the Jew, with Israel. And again, I'm so glad that up until now, our nation has decided to stand by Israel. And we've been blessed, no doubt about it, tremendously. And I am so glad that to me, our president had his finest hour when he actually stood firm on our resolve that we will stand by them. And I'm glad for that. And again, we stand by them by mourning with them, by praying for them, by abhorring that which is evil, clinging to what is good, and by distributing to the needs of the saints. And we're going to do that in a moment here. I'm going to close in prayer. Part of being a transformed people is to have a soft heart of compassion. And it ought to bother us when we see these images and things, or we hear about them, that ought to move us deeply. And as Christians, it moves us to want to love those who have been hurt so badly. So we do that. And I encourage you, if you have even $3 to give towards the Israel relief, I encourage you to do that now as we close in prayer. And we have a collection, our usual tithes and offerings. But again, if you have anything extra to give, please give it. Please give it. So Lord, thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, thank you for giving us an opportunity to consider what you have in your word for Israel. God, as we consider the Psalms and the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, Lord Jesus, God, we know that you're not through with Israel. So God, cause our minds and our hearts to rest in our salvation. Cause our hands and our feet to want to help Israel, God. Lord, help us to stand firm in our resolve, God, to bless them, Lord Jesus, because you're not through with them. So Lord, I pray that our president, Lord, continue in that right mind towards Jerusalem, towards Israel, God. Give our men courage, Lord. Be with those people of Israel, again, who are suffering so greatly, God. Please comfort them. Comfort them, Lord. Come to them in a very powerful way. Jesus, you are our hiding place. You fill our hearts with songs of deliverance. And when we're afraid, Lord, we will trust in you, and we do that now. God, now we pray for the offering, Lord Jesus. God, help us, Lord, to pour out our support as we pray for them, Lord. Help us now to give of our finances, Lord, to support the people there. God, we entrust these extra offerings, Lord, to Jews for Jesus. God, they have stood so firm in their resolve, Lord Jesus, to bring your love to the Jewish people. And Lord, they're there. They're helping now. And Lord, help us to help them do what they're doing. God, we also ask that you would bless the tithes and offerings for Hillside Community Church, for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here in Julian and to the furthest away places, God, the outermost parts. God, help us to be part of that great commission. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Sin they how many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. more. Stronger than darkness, you evermore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam. What fathers of tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He's lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath the death we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, You love Him more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, You evermore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Yes, thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, God. And Lord, we do ask that You would continue to pour out Your mercy and love upon us. We especially pray for Uni, God, as she's recovering, Lord, from the surgery. Lord, thank You, Jesus, that she's in good spirits, God. We thank You. Lord, we thank You for Sandy, that You have touched Sandy, Lord. You're touching her, healing her, God. You're causing her to cry out to You, Jesus. So be with our dear brother Doug, God, as he ministers to his wife. Be with our brother Herb as he pours out extra, extra love upon Uni. And God, for all those who are sick in our fellowship, Lord, and hurting, oh, Lord, we ask You that You would bring relief and comfort and healing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, a few announcements. Again, thank you to cleaning crew number one, Joe Gallo, Rick Mizuhura, and Gio Alonso for getting the church ready for us today. Great job from the guys, the all guys team from group cleaning number one. That's great to have that. So neat to see them. Yes. Hey, lots of thanks there, of course. We had lots of guys out, Eric, Larry, Bill, putting lots of work towards our new fence that we have. Staining and sealing it. They put in probably, I'm going to say, 100 hours cumulatively trying to get this thing sealed and ready. And so thanks to those guys. And thanks to all those who came out yesterday to Camp Julian Oaks to help us with our preparations for our big event next week. And speaking of the big events, Tina, what do we have available? Do we still have a few tickets, I think? Okay, yes. So we've got a few rare tickets available, scarce and rare. We encourage you to sign up to walk or hike beforehand. There's an hour time that we give to raise some funds for the camp, of course. Either way, whether you just attend it or you walk and hike a little bit, we'd love to have you there. So, Tina, are you going to be at the back table maybe after service with some tickets back there for the golden ticket to sell to maybe three people? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. But, guys, our men's Bible study will resume this Thursday morning, not Wednesday, but Thursday morning from 7 to 8:15. It'll continue through November 30th. So it's a 6-week study, guys. Come and join us. And ladies, your study will begin on Thursday, October 26th, a week later. It's going to be on gratitude, giving thanks to God in all things. So that will be a neat study with Tina starting at 6:30 p.m. Guys, ours is at 7 a.m. on Thursdays. So we bumped it a half hour. You guys can sleep a little bit more, 7 to 8:15. And let's see. Oh, We'll be disassembling our current outdoor play structure to make room for our new structure, which is coming. So if you have any extra time on this Thursday, 8:30, guys, ladies, we're going to disassemble our existing little play structure and bring in a gigantic play structure. Enough for 24 kids. So it'll be neat to have. So with that, lots of neat things. Let's stand and I'll send us off. So Lord, thank you once again for this wonderful moment of pouring out your tender mercies, God, through your word, through songs. And now, Lord, through our fellowship, God, would you bless our time, cause us to want to encourage one another and build each other up. We pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.